Morning, church. God is good, and all the time. I'd like to remind everybody to silence your cell phones if you can, first responders and brain surgeons notwithstanding. Right. So the weary world awaits the coming of the Messiah. There were some who saw the signs, but most were stone deaf and preaching their own sort of religion. This first song, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, goes back and forth between the good news that the angels sang to unsuspecting shepherds and the fact that the world had pretty much left God behind, choosing instead to warp Judaism into a form of dictatorship. Money and power are the coins of the realm, much as it is today. Fill our coffers with your wealth, and God will surely be with you. Was hope present before Christ was born? In all the song's verses, the picture of the world system beating down upon the backs of the men and women is depicted in no uncertain terms. But through the strife, a sweet ringing of angel voices calling attention to a newborn king is heard. For the shepherds, the song is an explosion of light and singing and praise and happiness and hope. But for the rest of the world, it's akin to opening the door slowly where a trickle of light comes in and soon overwhelms the dark. Christ is born. The hope of ages is among us. Yet the world system travels on, doing everything it can to cancel the light and hope related by the heavenly choir. Toil and labor, crushing load, painful steps, men at war with each other. We need to stop and listen for the echoes of those beautiful words the angels sang. They are there in the smile of a child, in any good deed done selflessly for others, and while praising our Creator who sent his Son to be with us. Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing. Shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Thank you.
Please be seated.
Unfortunately, in the world today, you see a lot of strife, a lot of war, unfortunately, a lot of anti-Semitism going on. There's so much, it seems like so much hate in the world, but nothing has changed. What I mean by that is the world is just as messed up now as it was when Jesus came. But that's why Jesus came. And we need to keep that in mind. So I'm going to ask those helping with the offering, Frank. The plates are over there, okay? And Butch. We're going to pray not only for the offering, but I want to pray for Israel as we go forward. And just the hate we see in our own country is really disturbing to me. And it's senseless. It's all senseless. So let's pray. Father, we just ask your blessing on this service. We ask, Father, for your blessing on Israel. We pray that you help them stay strong. You help them accomplish the mission that they need to accomplish. We pray for the leadership in Israel, that you give them the wisdom and the strength they need to do the right thing here. We pray for the innocent Palestinians and the innocent Israelites, Father, who have been casualties of the conflict. We pray for their families. Many have died. And we pray, Father, for your comfort even during this holiday season of Hanukkah. And Father, I pray for our own country. It's unfortunate. You know, we say the more we're educated, the more we should know better, but it seems to be the reverse. I am greatly disturbed by the anti-Semitism against your people, Father. I am greatly disturbed at the fact that our Savior, who is Jewish, has been targeted also. And so, Father, I ask for our country that you bring a spiritual awakening, a revival to your churches. And I ask, Father, that people who are adversarial to the gospel, that your Holy Spirit would open their hearts to know that they can have peace with God through faith in Christ alone. And so, Father, it starts there. And as our relationships with Christ are, through Christ, are peaceful with the Father, it should overflow in our lives. Help us to have compassion. Help us to love others as Christ loved. Would you bless the offering, Father? I pray you bless the gift and the giver. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Present to you a cantata very simply called Come Worship the King. And they're good. And I'm not saying that because I play the drums. They're good. Okay? I would encourage you, listen to the words, read the words. They're going to be up on the television. Sing if you can. But here's one thing that will never change. In our crazy world, Jesus is still king.
Amen.
And he will always be king. That's our hope. That's our comfort. And we go forth in that comfort. And so I want to present to you our choir under the direction of Sharon Lally, who's done a magnificent job, that you would be blessed. Come worship the King. Thank you.
ago, in the little town of Bethlehem, a child was born to a poor young Jewish couple who had taken refuge in a place where animals were kept. He was wrapped in cloths and spent his first hours sleeping in a manger. He would have never known his story except that this baby was royalty sent from heaven because God knew the world needed him. Could she have imagined that she would give birth to the long-awaited Messiah? But the angel had said to her, "Lord God, time of year, both our greetings and our goodbyes are often the words Merry Christmas. When we say that, we recognize that the birth of Jesus changed everything. Prophecies of his coming, pray to see them fulfilled. But the Messiah they imagined was so much less than all he would be. And what they thought he came to do didn't even come close to Emmanuel. God with us, we truly mean it. The world.
Broken hearts.
Today, if you've never opened your heart to the truth of who Jesus was and is, be assured that he was born so that you could know the peace and hope of a relationship with God himself. If you've already trusted him in faith, then rejoice with the angels.
They did an excellent job. Would you show them your appreciation, please? I'm sorry? Oh. Tommy's taking over the service.
Yes. Naomi. I want to thank everybody for coming today. I appreciate it. We've been working on this for a long time. And I missed last year because I got COVID right before the cantata. I felt horrible. I just was like, I talked to Sharon many times. I was just like, just devastated that I couldn't be here. But, you know, the Lord somehow makes everything work. And all of us together, we worked real hard, and Sharon guided us through this whole process. And we just want to thank her with flowers and a gift from all of us, from all of us at the choir. We really appreciate her efforts every year after year after year. Thank you very much, Sharon.
Thank you, Sharon.
Speech.
You have no idea what a joy it is to be able to work with these dear people who give their hearts out. And we just, yes, we worked really hard. And it doesn't matter that we worked hard. It's a gift. It's a sacrifice of praise. And I was glad you were able to come and sing with us and to be inspired and to remember the reason for the season, Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you.
Before we close the service, I just want to say a few words from Philippians chapter 2, as we get there. The church in Philippi was having some problems, like all families. Church is a family. And they were starting to bicker. They were starting to get on each other's last nerve. There's two things I found out. If you want a test of a relationship, go canoeing with someone, right? Or sing in choir. That will be a test of relationships. But in any case, this was the church. Paul was addressing the churches in Philippi. And he was saying, look, this shouldn't be. You know, your relationships are out of whack. And the reason why they're out of whack is because the scripture teaches something very fundamental. If our relationship with God is right through faith in Christ alone, then our other relationships will follow. Even at that, if our relationships with others aren't right, then our relationship with Christ is going to be hindered. Does that make sense? Okay. And so this was the problem for mankind over the centuries since the fall of Adam. When sin entered the world through Adam, it made us argumentative. It made us, excuse the word, stupid. It made us rebels against God. And it didn't change the position of God at all. God is still God. He's still holy. He's still in control. Jesus always was. He was with the Father. In John it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was who? God. And he took the flesh, and the Word became flesh. Wow. You see, God sent his Son into this world because the world's in a mess. Would you agree with that? The world's in a mess. And we made the mess. God didn't. Not only did we make the mess, we try to get out of it through political ways, which never work. We try to get out of it through economic ways, which never work. Only because only the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords can change hearts. Only him. No laws, no government programs, nothing can change the heart of a man or a woman like the grace and the love of Jesus. And so he wrote this passage. I'll go through it with you quickly. Remember that Paul's addressing the relationship issues. He says, having this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equity with God a thing to be grasped. He's talking about the pre-incarnate Christ coming to this earth through the miraculous conception of a virgin, taking on flesh, being born in that cradle, if you will, in that manger, fully God, fully man. When he left heaven, he wasn't any less God, but he took on the flesh of humanity. And so, even though he was God in the flesh, what he did was he took his attributes, his divine attributes, and put them under the authority of the Father to glorify him. And look how this goes. But he emptied himself by taking the form, what's the word? Of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. A servant, the creator of the universe. A servant. And Paul is saying we should have a mind like his. A servant. And being found in human form, he humbled himself. Humble, that's a word that gets lost today, isn't it? He humbled, by the way, if you think you're humble, you're not. Humility is a quality that comes from a relationship with Jesus and walking with him through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, by becoming humble to the point of even death on the cross for me and you. See, Jesus was the only one who could pay the penalty we owe for sin. We can't. You can do good works from now until all eternity that never pays our debt of sin. Jesus came, fully God, fully man, the perfect sacrifice to die in my place, in your place. That's Christmas. In love, he came and gave himself for you. And we get so lost in all the commercialism and all the stuff, you know. It's kind of ironic if you're looking at the news that the Christmas tree in Washington blew over, right? And I'm saying how ironic this is because we make it about the Christmas tree and we've forgotten the king. We've made it about the presents and we've forgotten about the creator of the universe who came as a king in a manger. We've made it about pigging out on a holiday, and we forget the Creator. Three things I just want you to know. We need to have the mindset of Christ. In that passage, it says, I want you to have the mindset of Christ and keep on having it. Well, what does that mean? That means through the Holy Spirit, as we yield to him, as we look at the Word, that we become servants for the kingdom to advance the cause of Christ. He says, do it now and keep on doing it. And he chose to submit to the Father. You know, when I do wedding vows for a couple, if they choose the traditional vows, which I kind of push, if they choose the traditional vows, they say, okay, do I have to say love, honor, and obey? Well, yeah, you do. Because I'm expecting your husband to be like Christ. That's what the scripture says. And if he's like Christ, then you have no trouble obeying. If he's not like Christ, well, that's a different matter. But we're called to have the mind of Christ. The second one is Jesus is king. We see that in this verse. He's king. Nothing's going to change that. I don't care who's in the White House. I don't care who's leading the Soviet Union. I don't care who's leading China. I do care for us, but it doesn't matter. Jesus is king. And the reason why it doesn't matter is because I can go forth and live life boldly as God directs through his word. You can do this too, through his Holy Spirit, because no matter what happens, Jesus is king. He's in control. And the last thing I want to emphasize to you is this. He's going to have the last word. He's coming back again. And when he comes back again, he's coming back as a warrior. He's coming back as a judge. And he will be coming back. If there's anyone here who doesn't believe that, I'm going to tell you very bluntly, it makes no difference. He's coming back whether you believe it or not. He's king, whether you believe it or not. The question I have to ask as a pastor, are you ready? And the only way we're ready is simply this. Have we come to a point where we know Jesus personally, that he went for me on the cross to pay a penalty I can never repay, so I can finally be right with God? You see, we were born warriors against God. That's the sin nature. We were born rebels against God, and only Jesus can correct that. When we come to him in faith, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, and he creates in us a new heart, new freedom. Do you realize that Jesus' kingdom was built on love, not force? You realize that? He's the only king who ever lived whose kingdom was built on love, not force. And it was a holy love. It wasn't a wishy-washy love that says, you can do whatever you want, you're still okay. No, it's a holy love that expresses his holiness, and God even has boundaries. That is the name. And when you cross those boundaries that are found in his word, we sin against him. But he says, come to Christ. He paid for your sin, past, present, and future. And live by faith in him. Here's the last two verses. Well, let me give you the last three. Let me get there. I hope I have them up here. Yeah. Here you go. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, who? Christ. And bestowed on him the name that is what? Above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven, on the earth, and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. That's going to be a great and terrible day. Here's why. Nobody knows when Jesus is coming back again. If you get a preacher and they tell you they know when Jesus is coming back, turn them off. Don't even listen to him. He doesn't know. Okay? But I know it could be any time. I know it could be today. I wish it was today. I know, you know, it could be tomorrow. I don't know. But we need to be ready. We need to be found in Christ. In other words, following him, putting our trust in him and in him alone. And then we're ready. Every knee shall bow. You know what that means? If you go through life and say, I don't need them, I reject them, I'm the king of my own castle, to use the honeymooners' theme, right? It's going to be a terrible day. Because whether you like it or not, he's still king. And when he comes back, he will pronounce judgment. And that's why in Isaiah, that's why in Daniel, that's why in Revelation, that's why Paul in Thessalonians says that day will be a great and terrible day of the Lord. The question is, are you ready for the coming of the king? Are you? Do you know the king personally? So here's what I'd like to do, if you just put up with me for a second. I know you can smell the coffee. And we got a beautiful cake in there. So let's put that on hold just for a few seconds. I'm going to ask that everyone bow their heads and close their eyes. And if you're here this morning and you haven't given your life to Christ by faith, knowing that he died for you as your personal Lord and Savior, are you willing to do that today? If you are, just raise your hand, that's all. Praise God. Let me ask you this question. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you maybe haven't walked with him the way you should, maybe, you know, we let life get in the way and worries and all the things that can distract us, and you want to recommit yourself to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, would you raise your hand? Praise God. Thank you. Thank you for that. For those who want to know Christ, it's very simple. Pray a simple prayer. You've heard Billy Graham say this many times. All you need to do is say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm a rebel. And I want to confess that to you. Lord Jesus, I need you. I know you died on the cross for my sin, my shame. And I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior. Simple prayer. And at that point, the promise of Scripture is that Christ indwells you through the Holy Spirit. And he gives you forgiveness, freedom, new life, new purpose. Why do I say freedom? Because for the first time, we're free to follow Christ. That's freedom. So if you've prayed that, God bless you. For those of you who recommit, God bless you. You can open your eyes again. We're going to close with a song. It's a familiar song. And I hope you take something from this cantata and go out and share it with someone. Can you do that? Right? Listen, the world is very bold about sharing their profanity, about sharing their stuff. God is entrusting us with the best message in the world, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's time for the church, not only this church, but all churches who preach and teach the Bible in this country to go tell it on a mountain. Because that's the only hope for our country. Only the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords can change the hearts of men and women. We need that desperately in this country. So I'm going to ask if you would stand, let's sing, and then I'll close in prayer. Thank you all for coming. I mean that sincerely. Just to give you kind of a heads up, next week we're going to be looking at Christmas from Joseph's perspective. Of course, the stepfather of Jesus. And we have some excellent services planned going forward. If you are available, Christmas Eve is on a Sunday this year. So we'll have our normal Sunday service for Christmas Eve, and then we'll have a candlelight service at 7 o'clock. You are more than welcome to any of those. We do have our prayer meeting on Tuesdays and men's group on Tuesday nights. The door is always open for any of you who wish to come. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Could you show your appreciation for the choir, for the technical people, all who put this together, please? And if you were blessed by them, please let them know, okay? Let's pray. Father, as we have fellowship around cake and coffee, we just ask you bless that time. Thank you for these dear people who came out to worship the King. Thank you for Sharon and her preparation for, well, week after week for the services, but also for the choir. And thank you for Chip, Father, who also helps out. And so, Father, we just ask your blessing. Bless the cake, no calories on Sunday, and bless our time. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
God bless you. You're dismissed.